Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to that which was our second scripture reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 2, these words, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And our subject this morning is the only message we preach, the only message we preach. Well, these words are the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, his first letter to the Corinthians, to the church at Corinth. In our evening series at the present time, we're studying the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But this morning, we're going to be spending some time in this first letter and this second verse in chapter 2, because this is such a glorious statement of the Apostle Paul, which tells us a lot about the Apostle and tells us a lot about the Gospel itself. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had traveled previously to Corinth, which was part of ancient Greece, and we believe he traveled there around AD 51, which was roughly speaking around 20 years, almost 20 years after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Apostle Paul traveled to many places. But why did he travel to those places? Well, we get the explanation here in verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was the message. That was the reason he was going to all of these places. And even in verse 1, we have greater insight. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." The testimony of God. He did not come with his own message, with his own wise sayings, or his wise idea of what life should be and of what religion should be. It wasn't his own wisdom. "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I was declaring unto you the testimony of God, the one true and living God, the God who has created all men, the one to whom we owe all our lives. He wants to speak to us. He wants to give you a message. So this is why I have come, not with my own message, my own wisdom, not with excellency of speech." The Apostle Paul didn't go around because he wanted to show everyone how great he was at speaking, how great of an orator he was to deliver his speech. "Look at how eloquent I am." That wasn't his point. That wasn't the reason he went around. "No, I come to declare unto you the testimony of God. This is why I travel from place to place. This is why I risk my life. This is why I am imprisoned. This is why I am beaten. Not to show you I'm a great speaker, but to declare unto you the testimony of God." And this is why he says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." But these words are so very interesting. "I determined not to know anything among you." This was his choice. "I determined." This was his deliberate purpose. He wasn't going to speak about anything else. Now, everybody else, no doubt, when he went to Corinth, would have loved to have talked about other things, about other subjects. There was so much to talk about in Corinth. It was part of ancient Greece. The ancient Greeks were great philosophers. You know that, many of you. So he could have spoken about philosophy. Corinth was a place of great commerce, so he could have spoken about business. He could have spoken about religions. They had a great temple dedicated to Aphrodite. He could have spoken about sport. Sport was very popular in Corinth. And no doubt he would have gained a great audience if he had desired to speak about those things. But no, I have chosen, I have determined specifically not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about him. Well, it's the same with all of us. A Christian will always want to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, even if nobody else wants to. I don't know about you, but when I get to speak to some people that I know who are not Christian people, the last thing they want to talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to talk about everything else. Every other subject under the sun, whatever it is, trivial things, what was on TV, maybe slightly more serious things, social issues, racism, coronavirus, they'll speak about anything else except the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to be very determined. If I want to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to be determined, just like the Apostle Paul. For I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And of course, it's what we do here every week. When you come to this church, you will never hear any other subject preached from this pulpit on a Lord's Day morning. You will not hear preaching about the weather or about climate change or about politics or about social issues. That's not my duty as a minister. As a minister raised up by God, my duty is to present to you the gospel, Christ and him crucified. That's the subject of every message. Every message I preach every Sunday morning, yes, I may give the sermons different titles, but the subject is always the same. Christ and him crucified. And this is what we choose to bring you. There are so many things we could speak about, but this is the greatest message, and this is what the apostles preached. They didn't preach about social issues or politics or any such things. The Apostle Paul specifically says, Jesus Christ and him crucified. But why? Why this message? Well, this is the only message that is worth knowing. The only message that is worth preaching about, certainly, but it's actually the only message that is really worth knowing. You know, there's so much information in this world. We live in an age of information overload. You can find information on any subject that you want to nowadays, at the click of a button, at the click of a mouse. And while there is some useful information, you know, a huge amount of the information nowadays is actually worthless. We live in an age of worthless information. What do I mean by that? Well, so much of the information, the things that we know nowadays, we don't actually gain anything from it. What do you gain from the things that you know? It doesn't add to you. It doesn't improve your life in any way. It doesn't improve you as a person. Think of all the things that you know. What do you actually gain from it? So much of it, if you look at it soberly, is useless information. So much of the things that we see on the media, on the internet, yes, it stimulates us for a little while. It amuses us for a little while, but ultimately, it's actually useless. It's of no further use. It makes no great difference to your life. But this information, this message, it does. It makes a tremendous difference to your life. In fact, it gives you new life. What other information, what other message can give you new life? It's only this gospel message, a life that only God can give you, true change, inner change in your heart, inner change in your mind. Your soul is changed. You're a completely different person. What other message, what other information can give you new life? A life that comes from heaven itself. You know, that's one way that you can define a Christian. Who is a Christian? What is a Christian? He's somebody who has life from heaven itself. That is a Christian. No other information. Nothing else you can possibly know in this world can give you that. It's all worthless in that respect. The information that we know and imbibe on a daily basis. It's only this message. This message, well, it's the only message that can give us peace, true peace with God. The information in this world, so much of the information, it takes away our peace. You read things, you listen to things, you watch things on the news, they actually take away your peace. They make you angrier. They make you more confused. Why is the world like this? It actually takes away your peace. This message, it gives you peace. It gives you peace with God. It gives you a greater understanding of why the world is as it is. It gives you that insight. When we know this message, it gives us that peace that no other message can. You read the Word of God. You read the Psalms, for example. Be still and know that I am God. What is the psalmist saying? Well, he's saying, have peace. Have peace. These are the words of glorious peace. And this message, this gospel message, that which the Apostle Paul preached, well, this message gives us great solutions. It gives us the answer to all our needs. You know, nowadays, there is so much debate, people constantly having debates, and so much conversation today, so much talk radio, for example. They talk about so many things, but there are very few solutions. No actual answers to the problems of the world. We just talk about these things. You think this, you think that, but there's no answer. There's no way we can possibly solve these things. This message gives us the answer, the solution that we need for our lives, for all eternity. This is not worthless information, dear friends. This is what we should know. And this is why the Apostle Paul, he chose, I determined not to know anything among you. Why? Because this is the only thing you ought to know. This is the only thing you need to know for your good in this life and for all eternity. For I determined, I chose not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, except Jesus Christ. He is the answer, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all things. There are so many people in this book, in the Bible, so many great and godly men and women in the Bible, but the Apostle Paul only preached the Lord Jesus Christ. He only preached Christ. He did not preach Moses. He didn't preach Moses as the way to life or peace or the way of salvation. He didn't preach Abraham. He didn't preach Noah. He didn't preach Mary, although many churches do, it seems nowadays, Catholic churches. No, the Apostle Paul did not do that. The Apostle Paul preached Christ. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. He is the only way of salvation. He is the only one who is divine. All the other people that we read of in the scriptures, they were but men and women, prophets. Mary was just a woman, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he was divine, fully God, fully man, equal with the Father, equal with God. He and the Father are one. The Apostle Paul is not going to preach anybody else. He's going to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only way of salvation. We read this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name that the Apostle Paul is going to preach except the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way of salvation. And so we cannot point to any other religion. We can't point to any other prophet or religious man. We can't point to Buddha. We can't point to the prophet Muhammad. The Apostle Paul, he speaks only of the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the only way of salvation. That's the only reason he would only speak of him, because there is no other way. And this is the same for us, dear friends. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ at the very center of our ministry, at the very center of our evangelism. The Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. You know, so many churches, sadly, they don't seem to focus on Christ alone. They seem to want to take other approaches to make Christians. And this is very sad. This is not what the Apostle Paul did. He preached Christ. Other people, well, they're tempted to think, let's just use apologetics. Let's just, for example, try and convince people that the world is created. Everybody thinks the world is evolved, but if I can try and get people to think that the world is created and give them the evidence and give them the arguments, well, then that will make Christians. Try to prove to them that we're all created. That will be good enough. It's not. Even if you convince someone that the world is created, that's not how you make a Christian. That's not how people are converted. They're only converted through knowing about Christ. Other churches, well, they go to other extremes. They try and make the church, well, a cool and trendy place. Try and make it as entertaining as possible. That's how you make people Christians. You joke about and you bring in contemporary music and so on. And you talk maybe about social issues. You don't talk about Christ. Nobody wants to hear about that. Talk about social issues. And then that's the way that you make Christians. Nobody is ever converted that way. The Apostle Paul, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. That's the only way people are saved. Other churches, other ministers, they seem to make a big thing out of miracles. Let's just fill our church services with lots of miracles and healings and miraculous things, tongue speaking and so on. Then you'll get people to believe. Just get them to believe in miracles. Dear friends, that's not the way. You know, you can believe in miracles and still end up in hell. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is at the center. That's the question. What do you know of him? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? So many churches, they've stopped speaking about him and gone to other ways. And that's the reason why the church has failed in this modern time. I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. And then, furthermore, and this is very important, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So something specific about the Lord Jesus Christ, his death. That's how converts are made. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now again, and I say this so many times, nowadays we don't like to talk about death. I've noticed even at funerals, people don't like to talk about death. They want funerals to be a celebration of the life of somebody. They'll speak about the life of that person. They'll speak about the achievements of that person, but the death will never be mentioned. We don't like talking about death. And that, it seems, is what is happening in the churches. Yes, they may preach Christ, but let's talk about his life. Just about his life, the things that he said, the things that he did. Let's talk about the parables. Oh, how wonderful the parables are. Yes, they are. but we'll just preach them and maybe just give a moral lesson at the end. That's all the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's just a moral example, how we ought to live our lives. They never speak about his death. But look what the Apostle Paul says here. He determined not to know anything else except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, his life was glorious, but you cannot truly be saved. You cannot be right with God unless you believe and you understand in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ and him crucified. The cross is so important. The cross, well, it is where all of the prophecies concerning Christ are fulfilled. The cross. I could give so many examples, but you think of perhaps the most famous prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Where is that fulfilled? Is that fulfilled in his life, in the miracles? No, it's fulfilled at his death. Christ on the cross, he was suffering for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It's speaking about the cross. When John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." How was that fulfilled? Was it fulfilled in the miracles? Was it fulfilled in the parables? No, it was fulfilled at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ and him crucified. Dear friends, the cross, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important. Where else would we see the love of Christ if it were not for the cross? Where else do you see? How do you know that God loves you? How do you know? Well, you may say, "Oh, well, I see it in the miracles. We see it in the New Testament, how he healed people." Well, yes, you can see how the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved those people in Galilee. During his time when he was alive, he loved all of those people, the Jews, those that followed him. Yes, he fed them. Yes, he had compassion upon them. But how do you know that he loves you? All of us here, all of those who believe in this church, in the 21st century, how do you know that Christ loves you? It's because of his death. It's because he has died for us. That's what every Christian knows and understands. I know that Christ loves me because he gave his life for me on Calvary's cross. When he died on that cross, it was for me, for sins that I have committed, sins that I have done in my life, in my body, in my lifetime. He has died. He has taken upon himself the punishment for my sin. He shed his blood for me. That's how I know that he loves me. If you remove the cross from the gospel, you don't really have any idea of how much God loves you. You don't even know if he does. But because of the cross, because of the teaching of the cross, we know he loved me and he gave himself for me. The teaching of the Apostle Paul, can you see now? Do you understand why he says this? "For I determined, I chose not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is the gospel. This is where the power of the gospel is. This is how men and women are saved, because we know how much the Lord loves us. We know that he died for us. Even in the first chapter of this letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, I simply read it out. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So many people think that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. It's so foolish to preach the cross every week. But dear friends, to us who are saved, we know it's the power of God. This is what has saved us. So we will determine not to know anything else save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Dear friends, do you believe in this message? Do you believe in Christ and Him crucified? This is what you need to know. Even if you don't know anything else, you know, this is something else that these words suggest to us. I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You don't have to know anything else. You don't have to be an intelligent man to be saved. All you need to know is this. You don't have to be a scholar, an academic. I remember when I was saved, I didn't know anything. I didn't know the difference between all the denominations. I didn't know the difference between Catholic, Protestant. I didn't know about any systematic theology. I didn't know what the original languages of the Bible were. I didn't know anything at all. But what I did know was that Christ had died for me. That's all you need to know to be saved. I determine not to know anything among you. Forget all the other things if you must. But just know this one thing. Jesus Christ has shed His blood for you. The only begotten of the Father suffered and died for a wicked man such as you are. That's all you need to know. Dear friends, it is so simple to be saved. I determine not to know anything among you. Dear friends, sometimes people come up to me or to the other members and they ask us, how has the church been revived? Because, of course, not so long ago, there were only a handful of people meeting here, only about 9 or 10 people. The church was virtually on the brink of closure. The church didn't know what to do. What has happened? Why has the church been revived? Why are there now so many people coming to this church? Dear friends, you have the answer here. We haven't done anything else. We haven't brought in the bands. We haven't made it all jokey. It's not because of me and my eloquence. I'm so often stammering and stumbling over my words. It's got nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with this. For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the way of blessing. Dear friends, if you don't believe in this, you must. Because that's the only way of blessing for you. Are you determined to know Him? You must be determined to seek Him, find Him, determined to pray, and to pray without ceasing until you know that Christ has died for you. And then your life will know blessing. Then you will know peace. Then you will know joy. Then you will know the forgiveness of all your sins. Then you will know everlasting life. No other message or information or experience on earth will give you these things. This is why the Apostle Paul said this, and this is why this is the only message that we preach. For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, let's turn in our hymn books to our final hymn this morning, hymn number 247. Hymn number 247. On the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, I suffered all for thee. When in true repentance praying, all my guilty sins appear, then the wounds of Christ surveying, I can see my pardon there. Here I'll fix my eyes forever, while the balm of life I'll prove. Every wound is like a river, flowing with eternal love. Who can think without admiring? Who can hear and nothing feel? See the Lord of life expiring, yet retain a heart of steel. Angels here may gaze and wonder what the God of love could mean when he tore the heart asunder, never once defiled with sin. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, how we pray that thou wouldest come indeed and visit us with that glorious salvation. O Lord, we have determined as a church, as a body of thy people, to preach nothing save Christ and him crucified. Lord, this is what we preach every week. And Lord, we thank thee that we have seen souls affected and even souls saved. But Lord, we pray for more. We pray, O Lord, for Christ's sake, because he suffered and died, because he offered up his precious blood. O dear Lord, for his sake, come and do wonderful things, things that we cannot do, things that no other message can work in the heart and mind of a believer. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldest mightily bless and help us and save souls this day. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.